ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis, the host of Politics Now, the ABC's podcast unpacking the latest political news when it happens. Every weekday, you'll hear me and the sharpest political minds at the ABC.
Me, Jacob Greber.
Me, Raph Epstein.
Me, Claudia Long.
Me, David Spears.
And me, Frank Kelly, for The Party Room every Thursday.
So join me for Politics Now, download and follow on the ABC Listen app.
Will Tasmanian farmed salmon be on your table this Christmas?
There's a lot of hard-working Tasmanians out there.
My boss is the boss of Tasmania.
Tasmanians want us to get on with the job.
North, south, east, west, I don't care where you live in the state.
Take them off your menu. There's plenty of other things that you can actually cook that actually maybe have a better environmental impact.
The fluvenicol is a safe antibiotic for us to be using in the environment. It's been used around the world for over 30 years for this kind of activity.
Hello and welcome to Tassiecast. I'm Ailey Ward, coming to you from Nipaluna, Hobart. Not sure that you need this reminder, but Christmas isn't far away. Have you been thinking about what will be on your festive menu? The traditional roast turkey or ham and all the trimmings have been ditched by a lot of Australians, even though it could be practically snowing here in Tassie, because who knows with our weather, but a growing number of us are opting for seafood on the festive table. Are you? And will salmon be part of that? And if so, it will have to be Tasmanian farmed salmon. And to say the industry's copped a bit of a hit to its image in recent times would probably be an understatement. There are plenty of concerns around animal cruelty, seal, dolphin and seabird deaths, and wider impacts on the marine environment. Earlier this year, Tasmanians elected a Member of Parliament who stood on a platform in opposition to the industry. But in other parts of the state, it's considered vital, employing thousands directly and indirectly, and it is a massive contributor to Tasmania's economy, worth more than $1 billion a year. Reporter Sophie Jaggers has plenty on her plate for this one. Sophie, hello.
Hi, Ellie.
Sophie, you've spoken to chef and farmer Matthew Evans, who's part of a campaign encouraging chefs around Australia not to use Tasmanian salmon. He's been quite outspoken with his concerns about the industry, and he's literally taken a dive into the salmon nets.
Yeah, that's right, Ellie. Evans hosted a documentary series that took him around the world, including China, Thailand and the US, to investigate global seafood production. He looked at everything from flake to prawns, but it also took him to his home state of Tassie, where he went diving beneath the surface of salmon pens. Now, that was just over 10 years ago, but he says the experience was a real turning point for him and his view of the industry.
And diving in the salmon pens, I guess, it was a turning point for me because when you look at things from above the water, you don't necessarily realise what's happening below. But when you actually see the fish in the pens, when you see how many there are, they're all swimming in one sort of area. They're not spread out through the column of the water. You do start to wonder, well, what happens to all the waste? What happens, you know, when all these fish are in close confines? Because that doesn't happen in nature.
But Evans does say that when the industry was in its infancy in the 1980s, he was an advocate for salmon. He's written recipes with salmon. He served it on his menus. But yeah, that changed as the industry grew into the behemoth that it is today.
Sophie, when he worked on that documentary a decade ago, Evans says workers in the industry were worried about what they were starting to see. And we did see a catastrophic event for the industry last summer. Well, actually, it was well into autumn.
Yeah, nobody could forget the images of dead fish washing up on beaches and the tons of dead fish in skip bins. The mass mortality event was due to a bacterial disease, which caused the deaths of 15,000 tons of salmon between January and April. A review of the mass mortalities was released earlier this month, and it was very critical of the industry's response. It found that a lack of accurate and timely information delayed decision making, and that no mass mortality response plan was in place. So opponents fear that mass fish deaths will happen more and more with climate change.
Now, Sophie, the industry reckons that the antibiotic it was using wasn't effective, and it recently gained approval for the use of a new one.
Yeah, so earlier this month, the industry was granted emergency approval to use fluphenicol antibiotic. Now, it's the first time it's been approved for use in aquaculture. It has been used before in Australia in the beef and pork industries. The EPA hasn't confirmed the latest numbers, but what we do know was in a recent budget estimates hearing, we heard that 815 kilograms of the antibiotic have been used across three sites in southern Tassie during the initial 2 weeks of the approval.
How much?
815 kilograms, almost a tonne.
Wow, in the first couple of weeks.
In the first fortnight, yeah.
Now, where these fish pens are in the state southeast where this fluphenicol is being used, it's had a negative impact on another fishery, the rock lobster industry.
Yeah, so a few weeks ago, Tassie's Environment Department closed two zones of the lobster fishery in southern Tasmania just hours after the commercial season opened. Now, lobster fisherman Bryce Way was already at sea when he got that email. He says he was already at sea.
I mean, that doesn't, you don't go out to sea for a large commercial expedition just at the click of your fingers, do you? There's a lot of time and prep that would go into that.
Absolutely. So he was saying they go out to sea in preparation for the start of the season so that their gear is in and that they're ready to go as soon as it opens up. But by the time they could even pull their gear in, they were told that these two zones were closed. So he was pretty shocked that that communication didn't come through till the start of the season. He reckons the industry and the government would have known about the planned antibiotic use and the impact on other fisheries months in advance.
This is a complete first that I know of personally with a closure of a wild fishery due to an introduced species having a disease that requires antibiotics. You know, in my opinion, the fastest way that they could fix this is just remove the salmon from the area, lower the amount of salmon in that area, and then build it back up until it's sustainable again. You know, when the questions are, when will this end? If this doesn't work, are they going to keep doing this? You know, what's the impact?
And Sophie, it's more than just not being able to fish for craze in that area at the moment.
Yeah, so Bryce says the two zones that have been closed are not necessarily heavily fished, but their areas often used as a refuge for fishers. He says especially for older fishers looking for easier areas to work in. They've been advised to only transit through that water. So while the impact on actual catches mightn't be massive, Bryce says the main impact for him is not being able to anchor and leave gear within the zone, which he says will cause skipper fatigue and burning impacts like burning extra fuel.
Now, the reason it was closed, even though it may not be a large rock lobster fishery, was because of the risk that those crayfish that were caught could have consumed the antibiotics intended for the salmon?
Yeah, that's right. So salmon are given this antibiotic through their feed. The risk is that lobsters crawl along the bottom of the seafloor and potentially eat it, or they eat the critters that have eaten the feed. Now, the issue is that one of the Tassie lobster industry's largest export markets, which we've only just recently entered again, is China, and it has a requirement that there are no traces of antibiotics present in imported rock lobster. So this move is a precaution to safeguard the industry's reputation in export markets.
Now, Bryce knows his sea creatures, right? He actually even used to work in the salmon industry, but he's worried that this might not be the end of closures for the rock lobster industry.
Yeah, so lobsters can travel a few kilometres in their lifetime. Bryce wants to know that the lobsters living on and around salmon farms will be tested for antibiotics, not just the ones they're catching. He reckons one solution is shrinking down the size of the pens or the amount of fish in the pens while they get the disease under control. He says if more rock lobster zones get closed for antibiotic testing each season, it just won't be sustainable for the industry.
It seems kind of wild to have a wild fishery closed in favour of a farmed one, Soph. Now, all this use of antibiotics and the dead fish last summer, and there have also been warnings to recreational fishers about eating catch within a certain perimeter of the antibiotic zone, it has meant some people have turned their nose up at our salmon.
Yeah, and Matthew Evans is encouraging chefs to ditch it, but he reckons the industry gets preferential treatment, like it's such an economic driver that it's seen as too big to be allowed to fail. But he does think the industry can be made more sustainable, but only if it changes how it operates.
I think if the salmon industry was held to the same standards as land-based farming, then we would find it a much cleaner industry. If I had a million dead animals on my farm, they'd shut me down in a heartbeat. But if you get a million dead salmon in the waterways near us, they seem to be able to keep operating and keep operating in the same fashion.
Now, the government is taking a look at these standards. In August, it announced it would be halting expansion of the salmon industry while an independent review is ordered to examine the industry's long-term sustainability and environmental impact. Now, the terms of reference for that study drew the ire of progressive crossbenchers when they were released in October.
Why were crossbenchers upset about the terms of reference for this review?
Well, because they said there was no consultation done and that there would be no recommendations coming out of the study. The government has since backflipped on that and the review will contain recommendations.
Now, West Coast Mayor Shane Pitt, he thinks there might be too much negativity around this industry?
Yeah, he reckons the industry is doing enough to limit its impact on the environment and that these mortalities are isolated incidents rather than indicative of wider issues.
I know there's been some mishaps in other parts of Tasmania with the salmon industry, but then, you know, it's all industries have mishaps, even, you know, agriculture as well. But they don't seem to be copping the negativity that the salmon industry is at the moment.
Regardless, Soph, the mortality event last summer and other negative news events, it doesn't seem to have dented appetite for the product.
Yeah, that's right. The majority of the product goes out of the state anyway. The mainland makes up 98% of domestic salmon sales. And in the middle of that mortality event last summer, Salmon Tasmania said sales were up 7% nationwide, while exports were up 22% year to year. Head of Salmon Tasmania, John Whittington, says demand for salmon is still strong, recording an increase of 9% since the start of the year.
Now, so going back to the disease which is being treated with this fluorphenicol, the disease has actually only been in Tasmanian waters a few years.
Yeah, so it was first detected on the east coast in 2021 and then in the southeast in 2023, but it's now considered endemic in both southern and eastern waters of Tassie.
Okay, now if people want to eat salmon here in Tassie, it has to be our farmed salmon, right? There is no wild salmon fishery and you can't buy salmon grown anywhere else. The farms have a captive market.
Yeah, anyone who's travelled through Tassie's airport would know that we have some pretty strict biosecurity laws which prevent the import of any raw, uncooked salmon products. Biosecurity Tasmania says the purpose of this ban is disease control to prevent any exotic pests from entering the food chain.
Maybe it's only Tassie water cooler conversation, Soph, given those sales the industry group Salmon Tas has referred to, but a few foodies that I know here who do love their salmon say they're only going to have it when they go interstate and can have New Zealand farmed salmon, for example. How come other states can import?
Well, I've asked our environment authorities for more info on this but didn't get any response on specifics, but we do know that it's to prevent exotic diseases entering the state. And one of those that is of the most concern is whirling disease. Now, it's a disease that causes deformities in fish and mass mortalities in salmon. It's never been found in Australia, but it has in New Zealand, North America and Europe. Now, nobody wants diseases to be introduced, and the infectious stage of whirling disease can even survive freezing. And unlike the rickettsia disease being treated and there being trials of a vaccine, there's no known cure for whirling disease. But despite that, other states let it in, maybe because they don't have such a large industry hinging on it not being present.
So is the Tasmanian government maybe going to reconsider letting other seafood in?
No, they've said they're going to maintain their total ban on salmon products. It's not something they're considering changing anytime soon.
You've only been in Tassie a few years. What's your perspective? I mean, what's your take on the debate here regarding farmed salmon?
Yes, well, it's certainly been more polarising than I anticipated. Obviously, being from the mainland, I knew salmon was going to be an issue or that it's an ongoing issue in Tasmania. But it wasn't until arriving here and reporting on the issue, just seeing how impassioned people are on both sides of the debate. I mean, you've got, as we've discussed, you've got townships and communities reliant on the industry, but Tassie also has just such an identity around its environment and people really fiercely defend that down here. So it'll be interesting to see how this debate continues to unfold as we move into summer.
And what's going to be on your plate this Christmas?
Yeah, Ellie, I come from a family of fishermen, so certainly there's going to be some seafood on the table, but very excited to head back to the mainland and spend Christmas by the beach.
Thanks, Sophie, and thanks to you for joining us. What's on your Christmas table this year? Let us know. Send us an email to tassiecast@abc.net.au. Until next time, cheers.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.